All right, thanks guys. Good to see everybody. Thank you, Micah. You may be seated. That was a good word. And let's piggyback off that as real quick what Micah just said. Put that verse back up there, the last one, 1 Peter 1, I think it's 5, verse 5. Was that it? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It almost sounds like it's not been revealed yet, wouldn't you say? But I thought it had all been revealed. There's something I want to get into. How do you take what God has said was coming and connect it to now for your life? So how does that happen? And I could say, when does that happen? Does it happen for everybody at the same time? And these are questions that are interesting, but, you know, we've talked about that. I love the idea of Jesus prayed for Peter's faith that it would not fail. He didn't say that I would pray for you that you would not fail. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith does not fail. He did not make a disconnect between you and your faith. Everybody hear me? You and your faith should be one. What happens when you disconnect from your faith? Anybody ever complained before? Disconnect. Anybody? Anybody ever gave way to fear and doubt and disconnect? But when you join to faith and the Lord says, I've prayed for your faith that it does not fail, Micah, you will not fail. Everybody hear that? But notice, you are kept by the power of God through faith that has not failed, which brings you to salvation. But wait, I thought I was already saved. But Peter is saying a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What's that tell you about salvation? There's more. That says that my salvation is not quite finished. What if God saved you from condemnation? Could you say I'm saved? But you still dealt with fear. Is that possible? So you mean you're overcoming every enemy, every spirit, every lie? That's awesome. There's an idea here we talked about in the conference. And the thing that a lot of people here I've heard through your testimonies has been about going through the door. Going through the door. Would you agree? A lot of people have been thinking about that. I'm going through the door. I'm not going to stay outside the door. I'm going to go through the door. Well, there's a few ways to get through the door. First of all, I got to ask a question to you. Has the door been revealed to you? Yeah? Would you say yeah? Okay. Through all the preaching we do, through all the teaching, through all the Holy Ghost experiences, through everything God is doing, I would say the door has been revealed. The question, though, becomes, have you walked through it? Because how many knows that there is a difference? Let's draw this imaginary line right here, okay? This side of the church on my right is on one side of the door, and this side is on the other side of the door. Now, here you have to imagine this because there is no invisible wall. It all looks like the same room. But when you're talking about earth in the old and the earth in the new, let's call it heaven, would you say those two rooms look very different? One is full of corruption, the other is incorruption. One is full of death, one is full of life. What happens when you're on one side and you walk through the door into the other? So let's say you go from death to life. Do you know it? Do you immediately know it? I mean, you would, wouldn't you? You would. Have you ever thought, like, I think I'm in life, but I'm not sure? You're probably not. When you walk through the door, now notice what that verse says. Salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This salvation that he's talking about is a salvation that is coming for most. It is a salvation that saves you from everything. Where you are in a place where you're looking to it, to enter into it. And I want to tell you, don't stop seeking it out. Right, John? You're seeking it out. And you're looking unto the greater resurrection. There's a lot to be said here. I want to read something to you about just in a general overview of the book of Revelation. There is some very important things here. First and foremost, how many realize that it tells the entire story of heaven and earth, and the revelation of Jesus comes forth in that book? You go through that book, and I'm going to skip a lot by just summarizing one small thing. All of God in heaven is calling forth all the overcomers, come forth. And as he calls all the overcomers to a salvation that he wants to reveal, he's saying, I've put my word in you, which is your faith, isn't it? And he tells you, Micah, it won't fail. It won't fail. But I'm about to unveil all the enemies that you're about to face. But remember, the faith I gave you will not fail. You will think you're failing because you're facing so many enemies. But the faith I gave you will not fail. So what do you forget when enemies arise? Isn't that interesting? It's like we forget that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've put my word in you. And yet, when an enemy arises and starts talking to us, and we start almost, I'm kind of feel like I'm agreeing with this guy. And then the word of the Lord comes back to you, whether God does it or whether it's through an elder or pastor or something, it's remembered. I put my faith in you, and you go, oh, why am I listening to this crazy person who is a wrong spirit, an enemy? And we go, okay, I'm not going to listen. You didn't fail. You just entertained it to learn, right? But you remember, God said, the Lord said, I have prayed for your faith that it will not fail. So the Lord, in the book of Revelation, he raises up all these enemies for what purpose? To overcome them? And to judge them. Everybody listen now. Why would God raise up enemies in you? Yes, to overcome them, number one. But number two, how can he judge your enemies if they don't persecute the word of God in you? How can he judge them? You think God would just judge something if it wasn't doing evil? Or does he need it to do evil so he can judge it? Don't be surprised when your enemies come against you, because God will use it. You will suffer, yes, but God has got you. He'll remember you. Your faith will not fail. Then these enemies can be judged. That's the book of Revelation. The glory of Jesus is raised up in you through faith. Enemies are raised up and God judges them and you overcome. And guess where you're at in the end? In the glory of the revelation of Jesus. And then, like we talked about at the conference, he reveals this great city. Not only that, he changes your heaven and your earth and takes it from being a place where he can reveal all these enemies to a new earth where there are no enemies. How do you like that? That I'm with you, Keith. Love it. I love it. I want you to keep paying attention to this verse. Ready to be revealed in the last time. There's much to say about that. Did you know in the first verses, put up Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Look at this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Everybody read that next part. Stop. To show unto his servants things which must come soon, shortly come to pass. Wait, didn't Peter say ready to be revealed in the last time? Well, then the book of Revelation does something really interesting. It reveals the entire story from beginning to end, only to get to the very last chapter, chapter 22, verse 6. After everything's been revealed, all enemies have been overcome. Revelation of Jesus has come. The announcement of the supper of the Lamb. The new city, Jerusalem, is there. New heaven, new earth. And then the Lord does something really strange. He says in verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings. Now remember, these sayings are all the sayings that he just revealed in prophecy in the book of Revelation. Everything we just talked about. You're glorified with Christ. He's revealed everything to us. And he says, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done or must shortly come to pass. Isn't that how he started out the book? Now notice in this very last chapter, John is talking to the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the same that got the revelation revealed to it. The same one that was sent to John in the beginning to tell him the whole story. He revealed it all. And then he starts talking about it is yet to come. Wait a second. The whole thing was revealed. The whole thing is finished. As a matter of fact, in the previous chapter, did you know a new heaven and a new earth is here? The new Jerusalem has come down. No more death, no more tears. And he makes this statement. It is done. I can read it to you, but you believe me, right? It is done. God's dwelling place is with man. And then he gets to this last chapter, and listen how he says this. Behold, verse 7, I come quickly or soon. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now I want to show you something. Why is he talking this way, Mike? It's done. It's been revealed. I've overcome. He said I did. Jesus, new Jerusalem, new heaven, new earth. It's finished. Jesus did the work. And we go, but in me, why is there still enemies? Why is there still fightings? Why is there still wars? Why is there still lust? Why is there still thoughts of trying to be faithful because everybody's different. In Jesus, we've said this 1,000 times. Is it finished? Did he see it? Did he work it? So in him, did he come to the very end? What goodness did Jesus do to us by revealing to all of us what he had seen? In other words, did Jesus give us all the secrets? Yes, he did, Megan. So if we have all the secrets, how come we're not walking in all of them? What do you think? Haven't got there yet. What else?
Still learning it.
You mean there could be some secrets actually revealed that you don't understand yet? Ah, as long as Jesus does, then we're okay. Micah, did Jesus pray for your faith that it fell not? Then while you're learning the revelation of Jesus and coming through all those enemies and learning that there's a new Jerusalem coming and a new earth, are you going to be okay? You mean you're not going to fall away and perish? No! Are you Marvin? No. What? I didn't hear you. Oh, okay.
Like that verse of Peter said, you're kept through that.
You're kept. There you go. Peter said it. You're kept. See, I like what Micah did there when he introduced that idea, because he showed where Jesus prayed the prayer and then Peter, years later in his epistle, wrote how it worked in him. I was kept through faith. Peter was saying Jesus didn't lie. He told me back then, and I even looked him right in the eyes, Micah, and told him, no, I think you're wrong. No, I won't deny you. And he said, whew, it's a good thing I'm praying for your faith. And not this little liar hiding in you. How many of you have thought, now everybody be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Because of everything preached here, how many of you have taken a thought at times that I've arrived? I have come into some things and I understand. And if you have, I want to do something for you. Back that thought down. Because there are things ready to be revealed. It is revealed through Jesus. But Jesus is guiding us on the journey, wanting to reveal all things to us. But there's some things I want to read to you here. There's some scriptures here in this last chapter that we need to be very aware of. Because we could go through and teach all the book of Revelation, detail it out and all that stuff by our experiences. But I'm jumping to the end to prep you on how to receive all that's coming. Can we do that? Can we go to the end and learn the ending, and then that helps us on our journey? Would you like that? You know why we could do that? Because Jesus saw it, Brad. Because Jesus experienced it. Is he the firstborn of many? Come on, everybody. That's hot stuff. I mean, I say it's hot because I think about Jesus mediating for me and you after already going through everything, coming to the end and saying, I know how to overcome every one of your enemies. I've done it. How many of you have worked on overcoming enemies without Jesus? You know why you relate so well to this? Because you have many times, haven't you? I'm telling you, the greatest, you call it like in our world, we call it like an asset or an ally. You know, we call them like allies, like a friend. The greatest ally that we have as people in this world is actually someone who doesn't live in this world, whose name is Jesus. And he has overcome the world and overcome every enemy. All we need to do is rely on what he said he went through. And then just ask him, how do I handle this? What do I need to do? Oh, he'll tell you. I don't like that, Lord. I have a little bit better plan. Let me try this for a while. And we do. And we fail. And then we go back and we say, well, I gave this a try. He said, yeah, that's the part I didn't pray for. I prayed for your faith. Let me join you back to your faith. Your faith is what I give you, what I tell you, how I journey you. And we go, whew, okay, I'm liking this. Okay, well, let's keep reading this. Let me point this out, though, in verse 7, I think, right? Behold, I come quickly. And he's still talking as if he hadn't come yet. Okay? I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings or the words of the prophecy of this book. There's your first idea. How do I come to the end of this salvation? Well, keep the word, man. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that in knowing the answer. Keep what's been said and be faithful to it. Keep it. Will your faith ever fail if you keep that word? No, it will not. Let me keep reading here. There's only a few verses here. I don't read through scripture much, but I love that today I am going to read every last verse in the rest of this chapter. Verse 8 says, I, John, saw these things. Now he's talking about the whole book from beginning to end. And I heard them. And when I heard them and saw them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Verse 9 says, then that angel said to me, don't do that. For I am of a fellow servant and of your brothers, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Now he just signaled something here. Notice how he said, I am a fellow servant. This angel was telling John, I'm working with you. We're working together. Fellow servants, the prophets, you, the apostles, the angels, we're working together in this thing. What are we working together to do? To keep the sayings of these prophecies. Now, let's put that into right now. What are we working to do? Aren't we doing the same thing? I mean, think about this. Every time we come together, we're doing this one thing. Let's keep these sayings. Isn't that true? You know why? Because it helps us get to the end. He says, I'm coming back. I'm coming quickly. We've already heard that prophecy. I'm coming again. And some may say, well, he's already come. Yeah, he's come and revealed himself as a Christ. But there's lots of enemies still working, and we're working through them for what to happen? For the brand new to come? The new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem? The doors of the gates have been wide open, Keith. What do we need to get there? We need to keep those sayings. How did God set that up in the New Testament? Who did he put there? Apostles, Keith. He put the apostles' word there so that we could follow them, keep the sayings of Jesus, always stay in remembrance, and he would bring us to the new. And we may say, well, I'm already in the new. True. True. But isn't it interesting, like we described salvation? Is there more to salvation than just getting one word from God? Oh, yeah. Let's keep going. How do you keep going, Jessica? You stay faithful to what he's given you. And then you just let him add more and more and more. Isn't that awesome? It's how a faithful parent raises a child. You just keep giving them more until they continue to grow. And check this out. While the parents of the world, I ain't talking about physically, spiritually, the parents of the world want to give their children more of the world. They want to train them in the world and raise them up as disciples and prophets of the world. But the Lord, He wants to raise up His children as children of God, children of the kingdom, children of the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. That's what the Lord wants to raise His children up for. So what's He give us? Words, sayings. All you got to do is follow them. I mean, I could end right there. Just follow the sayings. But I got to finish a couple more things. Verse 10. And he said to me, this angel, do not seal the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, which means the time is near. So he's like, don't seal it up anymore. This is wide open. This is for all those that will come now. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You know what? I'm not going to dive into that. I don't have time. Everybody okay with that? Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. I want to dive into that last verse. I really do. But I'm not, Keith. I'm not. I'm fighting it. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. Soon. Now. Quickly is soon. It's like, let's get on with this. You know, the Lord wants to come. He wants to. Now, what makes this so cool is while a lot of people are looking for him to crack a physical sky and come right now to everybody, each one of us have this timing. Each one of us. Right? The Lord wants to come to you, John. The Lord wants to come to you, Deborah. He wants to come, Debbie. He wants to come. There's reasons why the Lord has not come in this manner yet. Okay? Well, a lot of it is just that he's bringing you to it. But there's things that slow people down, and there's other things that make people get there ahead of other people. Well, we know that. Let's keep going. We'll talk about that in a minute. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Here's another big one. What are your works, everybody? What are your works? If he rewards you according to your works, Marvin, are your works of the world? If your works are of the world, what do you think your reward is? From the Lord. From the Lord, not from the world. The world, they'll reward you of all kind of worldly rewards. But what if you bring an offering to the Lord that's from the world? Your works of the world. What if you bring it to the Lord? Oh, he'll reject it? Where'd you get that idea from? Cain and Abel? Right from the get-go. Adam, Cain, and Abel. You see the pattern all the way through. Talents, the parable of the talents, right? Will the Lord reject bad works? Could that keep you out? So as you're keeping the sayings faithfully, what else do you need to do? Commit your works to the Lord, Micah. Thank you. So keep the sayings and commit your works to the Lord. There's two things. I've answered two things that will get you to salvation being fully revealed. That you put off the works of darkness, Brad. Now we know what Brad's preaching tomorrow night. You put off the works of darkness and you put on light. You keep the faithful sayings of God. And what's the Lord want to do? He wants to come back. and receive all of that from you. But then we're not done yet. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Has everybody read this verse before? How do you get into the gates of the city? How do you get into eternal life? How do you get into the revelation of Jesus? Do you keep the commandments? Do you be faithful with the sayings? See, keeping commandments wraps up both. Keeping the sayings and doing the right works. That's how you enter in. And it's very important. If you're going to receive everything the Lord has given you and enter into all of it, you got to be faithful to keep the commandments of God. And you know what? Keeping them will not be hard if you have one thing in you. What is it? Love. Love. If you love me, why don't you read it this way? I keep the commandments because I love God. Ooh. So guess where I'm entering into? The city of God, through the gates of the city. Now, if you didn't hear my teaching on in the conference, get that. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll hear Keith's, Gary's, and everybody's, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about today. Be faithful. What is the reward? I get to enter in. So what keeps you out? Verse 15. You know what keeps you out? For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. You know what's not getting in? Remember how the Lord sealed off the garden in the beginning with the flaming sword? What did he say wouldn't get in there? Everything I just read. Guess what's not ever getting back into heaven? See, the Lord allowed it in the garden, the transgression of it, so that he could send them out, send everything that was disobedient out and learn. But when he said it comes time to overcome, the only thing getting back is what my word is, my faith, Micah. That's what's coming back. That's why I pray for it, that it won't fail. And he brings it back and he lets it in. But on the outside, what's on the outside? The bad stuff, everybody. How many of you just think you're bad, huh? Well, don't be that kind of bad. You need to think, no, I'm good. Now, I know the term, you bad dude. No, we should create a new term. You good.
I'm bad, though, for the devil.
That's another whole subject, man. You good. You good. If you're wondering what he said, I'm bad for the devil, which is true. But that's another subject. I don't want to get off on that. But it's so true. But that's because you're good. You've returned to being good. You've returned to shunning evil. You've returned to being good. And you know what? The Lord wants to come back and receive you unto himself. What do you think the whole book of Revelation is about? I love it. Almost done. I am literally almost done. Verse 16. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify these things in the churches. The whole book of Revelation was done in the churches for another time. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. By the way, remember in the churches, Jesus said, if you overcome, what will I give you? The morning star? You mean you're going to get your star back? Oh, you say, well, am I a light in heaven? Joined to the morning star. Yep. And you'll get your star back. Well, my star got burned out when I went out. Come get your star back. Anyway, makes sense to me. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, which is the New Jerusalem, come. Well, why would they say come if it was already completely finished? Because in Jesus it's finished, and he's the one saying, Jesus and the bride are saying, come, join us. But not only them, and let him that hears say, come. Remember the hearer and a doer? He's already joined himself with Jesus. So what's he saying? Come. That's awesome. And then let him that is athirst come. And whoever will come, let him take the water of life freely. Three more verses. Isn't that awesome? But notice how he says it is done, yet he's calling everybody to come. So what does that mean? Is he referencing, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you shall be? Is that the coming? I have went, I've wrote the whole revelation, I've finished it. Now I'm telling all of you, come to me. I've already come to you, Julie. Now you need to come to me. That's the words of Jesus. My God, that's faithful of Jesus. What do you think, Micah? It's like I've already visited you where you are. I've already went to your dead place. I've already visited your graveyard. I came to you first. Then I went away. I showed you that I was alive and real, resurrected, came back, revealed it. Then I went to prepare a place. And now I'm not coming back in the same way I came the first time. Isn't that awesome? He wants us to be faithful with what we've been given so that when he comes the second time to gather us up, we're ready to go. See, the first time he came, we weren't ready. We were full of sin. We were just finding out that we could be saved. That's what the first visitation of Jesus is in the gospel. I'm here. I'm faithful. I'm not leaving you in sin, but I'll be back. I got to go. Now deal with these enemies. I'm going to help you all the way. I'm going to show you, but I'm going to prepare a place. And he goes and he prepares it. That's what the book of Revelation does. Prepares the place. And then he says, I'm going to come back now. And now, because you're ready now. You've overcome. You've worked against the enemies. You've kept the commandments of God. You've been faithful. Now I can come back. And we'll gather you up and bring you to where I am. Now, does that sound like a good deal? Yeah. But what's it require of us right now? You got to be faithful to keep the sayings of God and never, ever, ever give up. Are you hearing me? Ever, ever give up. The old saying, I'm down, but I'm not out. Keep that in mind. Because I may face enemies that seem way bigger than me. But I've got this invisible angel of God standing behind me that I haven't seen yet. And he's way bigger than that devil. You with me? Okay, I'm wrapping up. We're going to end on a high. Am I on verse 18 now? For I testify unto everyone that hears the words of this prophecy, of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone adds or shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away of his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Is that profound or what? You know what I get out of this? Just in its simplest form. Just be faithful to what God says to you. Don't add your own version. Don't take away his. Just stay faithful to what he gives you. How about that? Will you get there? You will. And then he says, he which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And the last verse says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. That is some of the most profound stuff. When you look at what Jesus did by coming the first time, gathering all the believers and saying, hey, you're stranded in this death place called earth. It's a prison. But it's okay. I'm on the scene now. I know you. I see you. I know where you're at. I know what you're dealing with. You've been trapped here for a long time. But here's the thing, Adam. I'm here now. I'm going to replace this whole thing. I'm going to change it. I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to prepare my place. And then I'm going to come back and get you. But while I'm gone, everybody listen. While I'm gone, I'm going to put my spirit in you. Trust him. He speaks for me. Trust him. He speaks on my behalf. Trust the Spirit. He'll guide you all the way. And when you're faithful with everything he tells you, which is me telling you, you will come to the end of your journey. And guess who you're going to see when you get there? Me. And he says, I'll be there. And when you see me, I'll be riding a white horse. And all the enemies that you stacked up, we're just going to wipe them out. And we're going to feed them to the fowl of the air, the birds. It's going to be a great supper for the birds of the air. And they're going to eat all your enemies. But you and I, we're going to go feast at the table. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And then when I show you my new city, which is where the table's at, whew, you're never going to want to leave again. What a story, Michelle. What a story. What a profound story of God. Now, how do we bring all that timing into right now? Just keep the sayings. Just be faithful to do the commandments, right? Just be faithful, everybody. Faithfulness, Micah, is connected to what word? Your faith. Faithfulness is connected to faith. So if your faith does not fail, what else does it fail? Your faithfulness will not fail. Come on. Was that a mind bender? Sometimes I just chalk it off on me not explaining it right. No, I explained it right, didn't I? If your faith does not fail, your faithfulness cannot fail either. So stop lying to yourself and telling you, I need to be more faithful. Join to the faith that will not fail. And your faithfulness will not fail either. My God. Hey, are you guys ready to be faithful today? Yes. I think you are. I hope you are. I hope I encouraged you and motivated you enough, provoked you in the will of God, that you want to be faithful and fervent in everything you do. Okay? The Lord is preparing a place for us. He's joining us to it. Don't take the mindset, I'm already all into that new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. I'm there already. I've walked through the gates. Be careful. Let's eye this correctly. You've come through a lot of things, but trust the Lord here. God's going to finish this salvation, isn't he? Whew. Could be the last time, Micah. Keith, it could be the last time. Praise God.